Welcome to Straight Talk on Health. I'm your host, Dr. Chet Zelasko. Straight Talk on Health is a joint production together with WGVU in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I examine the practical application of health information, nutrition, exercise, diet, supplements. I look at the science behind them and let you know whether it's something to consider or just let go. You can check out other things that I do on my website, drchet.com, and please sign up for my free emails. My brother-in-law recently asked me to watch a video from someone claiming to be a doctor that specializes in blood pressure treatment. Now, the purpose of the video was to demonstrate, no, that's not quite right. It was to raise doubt in treating high blood pressure to the latest standards set by the various heart medical associations. Why? Because there could be serious side effects to meet the new standards for blood pressure control. What standards? Well, the standards set by the American College of Cardiology and American Heart Association in 2017 that recommended a blood pressure target of less than 130 over 80 millimeters of mercury for adults age 65 and older. The recommendations can be set greater than 130 millimeters for systolic blood pressure if the individual has other diseases and conditions or are too frail for treatment. Remember, those are the standards that were set in 2017. The reason was the result of the SPRINT trial, supported a couple of years later by the STEP trial. Now, doesn't that sound interesting? We're stepping and we're sprinting. Let's take a look at the studies to get some perspective. But first, what did the expert actually say? Well, he went to great length to talk about the hazards of lowering blood pressure too low. By definition, less than 120 millimeters of mercury in an aging population. The side effects could be lightheadedness, dizziness, feeling unsteady, leg cramps caused by electrolyte imbalance, and systolic blood pressure lower than 100 millimeters, also known as hypotension. He pointed out that the SPRINT trial excluded those people who had had strokes, had diabetes, dementia, advanced kidney disease, or were considered too frail. And we'll come back to him a little later. Let's take a look at the trials. The purpose of the SPRINT trial was to test the hypothesis that stronger control of blood pressure would provide more benefits in terms of deaths, heart attacks, and strokes. Specifically, to compare treatments to reach a systolic blood pressure target of less than 120 millimeters of mercury as compared with a target of less than 140 but greater than 120. They tracked the number of medications subjects in each group took, and they also monitored serious adverse events. The results showed that there were fewer cardiovascular events in the subjects who increased medication to get their systolic blood pressure below that 120 millimeter mark. Were there more serious adverse events in the 120 millimeter group? Yes. The side effects included hypotension, low blood pressure, syncope, fainting, electrolyte abnormalities, primarily loss of sodium, and acute kidney injury or failure in the intensive treatment group than in the standard 140 millimeter treatment group. That was true. But when you examine the actual data in the supplemental materials, you find that the number of actual cases of fainting were 94 in the intense treatment group versus 44 in the normal treatment group. That's out of 4,600 subjects in each group over 3.3 years. The other serious adverse events were similar, higher in the intense treatment group and lower in the normal group. The data from the STEP trial showed the same benefits in cardiovascular events in about the same number of subjects over four-year follow-up. However, there were no differences between the treatment groups related to those serious adverse effects, with the exception of hypotension, confirming the results of the SPRINT trial, which was used to set that standard practice. Now, there are a few things that stick out to me before we get back to our blood pressure doc. While there were more serious adverse events when the subjects were treated with more medications, they were generally of a minor nature. Look, fainting can be serious, and stressing the kidneys is not desirable. Remember back to the doc pointing out those excluded in the trial? Those people with strokes and other diseases and conditions? That's exactly what the purpose of the SPRINT trial was supposed to do. Eliminate confounding variables. Why? Isn't that wrong? No, and the reason is that there were already many trials that looked at people who had diabetes, had strokes, had heart attacks, and a myriad of other problems. The intent was to look at the healthiest group of older subjects to see how they responded to more treatment for their hypertension. Maybe this will put things in perspective. When you examine the supplemental data for each study, it lists the actual number of events that happened, not just whether they were statistically significant or not. Were there differences in the adverse events? They were infrequent. Take the worst case scenario. In my opinion, that would be kidney injury or kidney damage. There were 96 cases in the high treatment group and just 36 in the standard treatment group in the SPRINT trial. Now that sounds really, really bad, and I'm not suggesting it isn't. But look, in over 4,600 subjects in each group over a period of 3.3 years, it hardly seems like people were dropping over from the higher treatment. I don't really understand why he took such a confrontational view of the studies. He summarized the papers accurately as to the number of subjects, methods, and results, with the exception of those adverse events. I think he overdramatized the potential side effects, but to what end? Well, I think he wants a personalized program for every individual as hypertension. But when you read the actual guidelines given by the ACC and the American Heart Association, they give the same warnings for people with severe adverse events as he does when he talks about controlling your own blood pressure. It's not new. It's exactly what physicians are supposed to do. Now, the question of why some physicians only follow written protocol has more to do with the quality of the physician. But that may also reflect the patients as well. The reason these studies were conducted was to find out if increasing pharmaceutical solutions can make up for what patients refuse to do. Take better care of themselves by eating better, losing weight, and most importantly, exercising. That's at the beginning of almost every research paper on using medications to treat hypertension. From my perspective, there are two issues with the trials and indirectly with the blood pressure doc's comments. There was no assessment of the fitness of the individuals and no measures of fitness in either study. That's the glaring issue that I see. In research I've done, as well as many others, changes in blood pressure can happen less than a week after beginning an exercise program, regardless of the age of the individual. If that data had been collected, the number of adverse events may have been lower in the high blood pressure subject group, and the reductions in cardiovascular events may also have been lower. Oh, you're surprised that people who exercise regularly could have very high systolic blood pressure? Of course they could, because part of blood pressure control is genetic. Exercise could have added additional benefit, but we don't know because no one collected the data on it. And finally, perhaps more importantly, is the additional effort warranted? Are we just extending life, or are we really saving lives? Quality of life is absolutely important and should be considered by the treating physician. They have to have discussions with the patient and the family to include the potential adverse events in order to get the potential reduction in cardiac events from 2.19% to 1.65% over 3.3 years. The risk of reducing a major cardiac event through more medications by just 0.5% may not be worth the price to everyone. Again, are we saving lives or are we just extending life? But he did get one thing correct. Every person should be treated like an individual by their physician. And maybe that's the blood pressure doc's real message. Every person realizing that they have a choice. And I can't argue with that. And that's all the time we have for this episode. If you like this podcast, please hit the share button and tell your friends and colleagues about it. Until next time, this is Dr. Chet Solasko saying, health is a choice. Choose wisely today and every day.